Hello and welcome to Cloverdale Baptist Podcast, a place where we seek to grow your faith more intimate with Jesus, more impactful in the world, and where we seek to deal with issues that we have that will help us to live in a way that honors Jesus, to be in the world, but not of the world, to be those who are word-saturated, not world-oriented, and to be those who know the gospel, live in light of it, and honor Jesus. It's our desire to see people respond correctly in a world that seems to have gone mad. We're trying to help those in this congregation, those that listen to this podcast, respond to the things that are going on in the world. And when you see some of those things, it really seems like insanity has taken in. We don't just mean intersectionality, the propaganda of victimhood, or the agenda of those who don't believe that men and women are made in the image of God, distinct and have equal dignity and value, but are different. We don't just mean those who are attacking our children with all sorts of things that would cause them to disagree with and destroy themselves in terms of what the Bible says. We're talking about what's happening in Israel. We're talking about what's happening in Ukraine. We're talking about what's happening in our own backyards, and abortion and euthanasia and so many other things that threaten to destroy our peace and powerfully hurt other people. We have been addressing this in a Discipleship Hour class at Cloverdale Baptist, but I think there are so many that don't attend and so many that are emailing and discussing and saying, how do we respond to a world that seems to have gone mad? How do we engage? How do we be those who don't just ignore what's going on like so many did in Nazi Germany, but actually care about what God cares about and care about people and the destruction that seems to be so prevalent to their lives and our own? And I think it's a great question. And I think one of the great dangers we have is either ignoring it or thinking we're responding as Christians yet missing what the Bible teaches, or I suppose responding to the world the world's way. And I think both of those errors are dangerous and demonic. So I want to run through five responses, and some are emotional and some take action. In fact, at the end, we'll talk about the actions we need to take. But it's very important for us to realize that we want to follow God and His Word, not culture. Not culture on the left or the right, but God, and to be so dominated by our relationship with Him and by His Word that this is where we go, this is where we live, this is how we respond. So I want to walk through these five things and then talk really more specifically about what does that mean for engagement in things like what's going on in Israel with the terrorist attacks and the evil that's there, what's going on in classrooms with Soji and those sorts of things. We'll not address any of those specifically, but I hope that you're given enough passionate response that you can then apply these steps, these patterns to everything that goes on in your life. First, let me say that we as Christians should not be surprised. Should not be surprised. We're not friends with the world, and we shouldn't expect the world to be our friend. In fact, James 4:4 is abundantly clear on this. If you're a friend of the world, you cannot be a friend of God. Or 2 Timothy 3:12, it talks about the fact that anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We could go to so many other places. John 14, in this world you will have trouble. So many other places in the Bible. Listen, we're aliens and strangers. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 4:16 to 18, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us a glory that far outweighs them all. This world is not our home. We're living in light of eternity. And when Jesus calls his disciples to follow him, he calls them to a life that will not be comfortable with the patterns of this world or comfortable in this world. In fact, he said in Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. We must be willing to be so loyal to God and his word that we will pay any cost to stay his loyal followers. We should not be surprised when the world and the demonic systems of the world disagree with what the Bible teaches. We should not be surprised when the pressures of the world cause us to be tempted to think like the world, and we should fight that as the word of God so powerfully calls us to. Just take the time to read Psalm 119, or if you don't have the time, Psalm 1 or Psalm 19, or if you want to jump to the New Testament, Colossians 3 or Hebrews 4 or 2 Timothy 3. There's just so many places we could go that would just tell us, listen, it is so important that we judge things from God's perspective and God's word and not the world, and we should never be surprised that the world is not our friend, and we should be passionate that we're God's friend. So if we're God's friend, we will be at enmity with the world. Secondly, not be surprised. Secondly, let's be those who call evil evil and good good. Now, I take this directly from Isaiah 5:20, but I suppose you could get this from Romans 1:16 to 32 as well. This is so important because in our world, there's this passion to make things that are evil good and things that are good evil, and to excuse evil and sin with victimhood or excuses. And we need to be very sure that we see life and see good and evil from God's perspective. Again, culture on all sides would like to shape how we view life, how we view good and evil, and we need to constantly go back to God's word to not get our view of good and evil, or what we will call good and evil, from our friends or from Fox or from CNN or Facebook pages or whatever. And I will say to you, as one who is in this world seeking not to be of this world, that this is not easy and will take hard work, choices, and discipline, big choices and small choices. But we need to be those who say with God, we want to call what you call evil, evil, and what you call good, good, and we don't want to mix the two. And we realize that we live in a world that will. Romans 1 makes that abundantly clear. Isaiah 5 makes that abundantly clear. So we won't be surprised when we have conflict or when there's chaos in a broken world. We'll call evil, evil, and good, good from God's perspective, and we'll discipline our lives so that we can do that. Thirdly, we will be prayer-filled. Listen, often I get people who will come to me very concerned about what's going on in the world and longing to make a response, and yet they don't come to our corporate prayer meetings. And yet, I don't know this in every case, but and yet are not people who pray. And we need to remember that God has so orchestrated the world that the greatest impact we can have on the world is to engage with Him in prayer, to be those who are always praying, constantly praying. Romans 12:12, our memory verse for the month of October. Be constant in prayer. We need to remember that if we're not in prayer, that this is Moses' arms uplifted in Exodus 17. If we're not dependent on Him, then any battle that occurs on the ground will be a battle that we lose. John 15, Jesus would say it this way, apart from me, you can do nothing. And in the Greek, the word for nothing means nothing. We literally need to be those who are constantly dependent on Him. Listen, if you're very concerned about what's going on in the world, and you make your list, Israel, Ukraine, the view of sexuality, the oppression of our children, the books and things that are being invading in terms of classrooms and those sorts of things, if you're concerned about what's going on in schools, the best thing you can do is to pray, to call for partners in prayer, to join you in prayer, and to join our corporate prayer meetings, and to push your leadership to pray more, and to pray more together, and to invite others to pray. Listen, prayer is the most we can do. Oh, it's not the only thing we can do, but it is the most. So we should be those who are not surprised. Number one, we should be those who call evil, evil, and good, good, the way God does. Number two, we should be prayer-filled personally and corporately. Number three, four, we should be those who are passionate about what God wants us passionate about. And here's where I want us to be very careful. The most important thing is our own peace with God and passionate intimacy with Him, to live as Christ, to die as gain, to be so radically God-centered that we are living sacrifices, that we exist to bring Him glory. We say, this one thing I do, to know you more, and to reject everything else, whether that's religious, as Paul does in Philippians 3, or whether that's the flesh, as we're called to in Galatians 5, in that spirit-filled living. But we need to be those who long to be driven and defined by a relationship with Jesus. We need to be those who want that relationship to be so close, so intimate, that we become like Him, that we pursue that God-likeness of Ephesians 5, 1 to 2, or the walking worthy of the calling we've received, the Ephesians 4, that we long to be passionate about the things He's passionate about. Yes, that will include hating evil and loving good from His perspective, but even more, it will include the things that are most close to His heart. Listen to this carefully, because so often, when people are very concerned about what's going on in the world, they want to fight it in the world's way. And the way that Jesus has chosen to impact the world is His bride. We need to be those who are choosing to not only love Him in an all-defining relationship, a first love relationship, but then those who are actually engaged using the gifts that God has given us to serve His church. Or I love how one scholar put it. I think I mentioned this in a message. The gifts that God has given His church through us. listen, if you're concerned about what's going on in the world and not serving in the local church, then you're not doing what God has commanded you to do, and you'll end up adding to the problem, not taking away from it. I find some who get really caught up in what's going on in the world, and sometimes even rightly, passionately, these are things we should care deeply about, like what's going on in Israel or what's going on with euthanasia or abortion or the whole intersectionality movement of victimhood, all of these things. It's important for us to engage, but it's important for us to engage first and foremost where God has chosen to most impact the world, which is the local church, serving in the local church, using our gifts for the local church, loving one another, obeying the commands of the Bible, which are so repetitive, so that we might become a healthy part of His family, and that family on mission for Him might impact the world, and we change the culture one life at a time or one transformation at a time. We change the culture with gospel mission. You see, the church is not only to build itself up in love, Ephesians 4, 11 to 16, but also to live on mission for Him, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, really, or even if you wanted to jump into Acts, the whole history of the church, the Holy Spirit at work. We will be His witnesses here and in all of Canada and in the whole world, if you want to use a culturalized interpretation of that verse. We have to see ourselves as God sees us, as a part of a community, and then loyal to that community and loyal to Him in that community. And then the overflow of that will be an engagement with the world, but it will be totally different than how the world does it. And that, I suppose, is shocking, especially as we overflow and often are trained by the world. So here they are so far. There's one more to come, maybe the most important. But they're not surprised. This world is not a friendly place. We call evil evil and good good. That is essential for us to do, to be so word saturated that our mind, our worldview is dominated by God and the Bible, not culture and the chaos. Prayerful, personally and corporately, passionate about our walk with Jesus and living on mission for Him and building His church and hearing from the Bible the things to be most passionate about. Listen, I was going to say this. I'll say it now. There are very few things in this world that can get my heart as engaged as a terrorist attack on Israel. My emotions, I love the nation of Israel. I love God's view of the nation of Israel. And I would tell you, as one who believes God still has a plan for Israel, even more important than our engagement and more important than our anger and all of the things we should rightly feel when terrorists are murdering children and attacking a nation that God loves, are these things I'm laying out for you. Number five, faith-filled. This is the last response. Listen, in the midst of the chaos, and it is chaotic out there, I hear a lot of fear. I see a lot of anger. And we need to be those who are angry about the right things and fear only God. The only way to get there is to live lives of faith. Faith in God and faith in terms of what God has promised us in the promises of God. Ephesians 2, 1 to 10 tells us it's the only way to be saved. For it is by grace you are saved. This is 8 to 10. For it is by grace you are saved through faith, not by works, lest anyone should boast. It's a faith that gives us that forgiveness and freedom to live for God, freedom from sin, and then full devotion to God and His purposes. And then it's a faith, not just to save us, but to sanctify us, to hold us firm. Hebrews 11 tells us that without this faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews also then goes on to show us all sorts who walked by faith in the midst of the chaotic worlds that they lived in. They're models for us. We're seeing them cheering us on because they have modeled that kind of faith, that kind of life for us. We need to walk those kind of walks with them and for them. And oh, brothers and sisters, to be those who walk by faith and not by sight, as 2 Corinthians 4 calls us to, passionate about our walk with God and then seeking in that faith to glorify Him. Now you might be saying, okay, Pastor, those five things are good. Make that practical for us. Let me make it practical for your heart. God is good all of the time. Romans 8:32 tells us that we can trust Him because of what He's done in terms of the gospel for us. And He will always do, 28 and 29, and then if you go to Ephesians 1, it's certainly there as well. He will always do what is best for His glory and for His children. God is good. God is all wise. I love Romans 11:33. We talked about that in a previous sermon, but this, it means he not only knows everything, every possible possibility, but he chooses the best way to accomplish those things to his glory and his people's good. He is always at work. He can always be trusted, even in the midst of chaos and confusion. He's good. He's all wise. He's sovereign. Now, this is a word that means he's all powerful, but it's more than that. It means he rules from his throne, and nothing and no one escapes his sovereign plan. I love Ephesians 1:11. So many, again, other passages that we could go to in terms of seeing God's sovereignty and wisdom mixing at work. What happened to Jesus? Acts 2:23, Acts 4:28. What happened with Joseph? Genesis 45:7-8, or Genesis 50:20. What happened to Job? Job 1:21-22, or Job 2:10. And we could literally go on and on and share about nations under the sovereignty of God that attack and then are punished because of the choices they make under his sovereignty. We could talk about kings from the book of Proverbs whose literal responses are in the hand of God. We need to be those who understand that God is good, God is all wise, God is sovereign. Just a little aside, I have in my study at home a picture of a sparrow. It's one of my most precious things that I have. It's actually done in a precious way on a song. One of our elders and family gave it to me. And I call this the sparrowology picture because it refers to Matthew 10:29-31, where we see that not even a sparrow can fall to the ground outside of the will of God. Oh, this God can be trusted. But listen, there's more. He's not only good and all-wise and sovereign, but he's personal and loving. In other words, he notices me. He notices me individually. He notices me as a part of the sphere of life that I'm in, and nothing goes unnoticed by him, and nothing will be wasted in terms of his pursuit in his sovereign will for his glory. Oh, brothers and sisters, we live in a chaotic and sometimes horrible world. And in this world, we will have trouble. In this world, things will seem chaotic and seem like they're falling apart, and there will be terror and terrorists. There will be worldview oppression that hurts the innocent and victims, including children in schools, and abortion, and that hurts the vulnerable seniors, euthanasia. We could go on and on. In the midst of that, don't be surprised. Be so biblical that you call evil, evil, and good, good. Stay prayer-filled and do that personally and corporately. Be passionate about what God is passionate about, his church and his mission. And be faith-filled, confident in him so that you can serve him in the midst of the chaos with a Daniel-like faith, standing firm, letting nothing move you, always giving yourself to the work of the Lord. Once we've responded in these areas, and I really believe it's ongoing response in each, take those five, write them down, and renew them in terms of your passion to accomplish them. But once you have those five, then we can overflow and engage in some more areas. Let me give you five of those that we're going to cover in the class. I'm not going to cover them here. I'm just going to list them for you. And then we'll end with a prayer, actually. We'll end this podcast with a prayer for us that we would be those who are faithful to God in our response.
One of the things we need to remember in this is God has chosen us to be a part of his response. As we walk by faith, as we follow those five presuppositions, we also need to realize that he wants us to be his hands and feet. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. Be gospel-oriented in every aspect of your life. Be word-saturated. Make sure that you attack the world from a worldview perspective, that you question the worldview that is so chaotic and stick to God's word. Engage in the spiritual battle that's going on. Battle against your flesh, battle against the world's view, and remember that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the demonic realm. And then seek to, as an overflow of this, protect the vulnerable. We live in chaotic times. And the only hope that the world has is Jesus. And Jesus has chosen to use his church and chosen to use you to bring his message of hope, the gospel, and the holy lives of his people in love to bring that hope to the world. So, respond. Respond and engage, not in the way of the world, but in the pathway of Christ. And when you come to things like Hamas and Israel call evil what is evil. Hamas is evil, and their attacks and terror on Israel are be condemned. As you look at things going on in the culture, and there are so many more that we could address individually and specifically, the greatest courage will come not from seeking to single out all of the things that are wrong, for that will chew up our time and divert our attention, but rather to be those who stay on God's side in the power of the Spirit for the glory of the King. Not surprised, calling evil what is evil and good what is good, prayerful, passionate, living and walking by faith, and then engaging the world in such a way that they will see Jesus, hear the gospel, and choose in the power of the Spirit to follow him. The only hope for our culture and this world is Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for each person that is listening to this podcast. We ask that in the power of your Spirit, you would help them to feel and experience your peace. And from an overflow of that, to be passionate about what you are passionate about and to choose to serve and to join in and to pray and to engage in the way that you desire us to engage. And Father, as we do this, would we see what is going on in the world and help others to see it from your perspective? And in doing that, to point them clearly to you, that many would come to know you as Lord and Savior because they see our hope in you and hear where that comes from in the richness and good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen.